Welcome to Severance by Andy Evans. Chapter 1, A Good Pair of Boots. This moon's name was given to it long after the rock itself was terraformed. In fact, long after it had even been populated. Until then, it was Moon X9574. It was used by the Blue Sun Corporation as a farming venture. It proved fertile and capable of providing fresh fruit and vegetables that could be transported via a series of giant freighters to the nearby mining colonies on the neighboring planet of Harleston. But this venture proved to be uneconomical, and so Blue Sun withdrew. They paid their workers a sizable compensation. The workers took their compensation and made a bid to survive by forming a cooperative. They bought their land, they bought the machinery, and they bought three giant freighters using their severance pay. And so, from that moment on, Moon X9574 became Severance. The workers showed a great reluctance to move on despite overwhelming odds, though in recent years their fortune had seen a turnaround. The last 30 years had provided a decent market on Harleston, and the good folk of Severance struggled to supply that demand. The natural ores on Harleston had been essential to Alliance forces during the Unification War, and so the size of the workforce there had increased. As it did, the demands made on Severance for fresh food had allowed the cooperative to flourish, even after they had a dust storm 6 years ago, which almost destroyed that year's harvest. The war had in many ways proved to be a godsend to Severance. The noonday sun beat down on the dust track as Isabel Chang walked the 3 miles into town to purchase provisions for herself and her grandfather Cassius. The two led a quiet life on this little border moon. The homestead was located outside the main town on Severance, but their quiet and unassuming life suited them. Decent, honest folks on Severance toiled hard to make a living. Sometimes the effort wasn't worth the reward, especially if the crops failed, or if a dust storm claimed the harvest. But the inhabitants of Severance were a proud and hardy people. Cassius and Isabel fitted right in. At 17, Severance was the only home Isabel had ever really known. She'd been brought here by Cassius at the age of 2, following the sudden death of her parents, Martin and Jade Chang. Isabel thought she remembered her mother's eyes, but in all honesty, it could have just been a memory formed by the tales of a proud and loving father passed on to his granddaughter. He often told Isabel as a child that his proudest achievement had been seeing his daughter born. He spoke often about Jade, his pride and joy, to his wide-eyed granddaughter, and related tales of childhood followed by adolescence through to adulthood as Jade met Martin, a young soldier training as an officer with the Alliance at Military Academy. They fell head over heels in love and were married a year later. It was another year before the birth of their only child, Isabel. But the happy family would be ripped apart 2 years later by a well-placed bomb planted by a rebel bitter at the process of unification. The bomb destroyed the family quarters at the base, leaving many mothers and fathers to mourn the loss of the pride of the academy. Isabel survived by some miracle and was passed into the care of Cassius. Fearing for the safety of the last surviving member of his family, Cassius decided to opt for a quiet life and move them both to Severance to raise his granddaughter in the peace and tranquility of the little border moon. But so precious was his charge that Cassius would have little or nothing to do with the farming community itself. Isabel knew that the loss of her parents had left them independently wealthy, or at the very least, comfortable. Her grandfather had no need to work to earn a living, Alliance compensation for the loss of Isabel's parents. But Cassius had always worked the land. He looked out for them both, doing whatever he could with as little outside contact as possible. With money behind them, Isabel never really understood why they lived such a frugal existence. Cassius rarely ever ventured off the homestead, and they didn't even own a wagon and horses. So each week when groceries were required, Isabel would walk the 3 miles into town and the 3 miles back, with only a little hand wagon to carry the provisions back. and so it was today. Isabel was walking into the town, the dust kicked up around the bottom of her heavy skirt. She knew she would have her work cut out polishing up her boots when she got home. They were showing real signs of age, but Cassius told her that a good pair of boots could last you half a lifetime if they were polished correctly. His own footwear seemed immortal. You could see your face in his boots. But then again, he never left the homestead. He left all the walking to Isabel. The gates of the wall around the town were in sight, as Isabel felt the ground give under her ankle. It turned sharply, throwing her firmly into the dirt, and her wagon flew in the opposite direction. Shocked and sitting in the dust, Isabel quickly looked round to ensure that nobody had witnessed her ridicule. And then, wincing through the momentary pain, she began to rise and saw the offending article, a small stone that had rolled under her foot. Such a simple thing, and it led to her downfall. She stood up, and then the realization hit her that the sole of her boot had come away, and it was open to the elements. It flapped as she tried to walk, and, gathering up the trolley, she continued a limping, wincing walk in through the town's gate and onto the main street. The dust and the small debris had worked its way under the shoe and was causing intense annoyance, and Isabel knew that she would have to call into the saddler's to get a repair, or she'd be unable to make the return journey to the homestead. So much for Cassius's theory of well-polished boots. The repair would eat into her housekeeping budget for the week, as she never travelled with more money on her than would be considered necessary. And so, if she had the repair, it would mean that the next day she'd have to do the journey all over again. Another 6-mile round trip to town, all due to a footwear malfunction. Passing the hardware store and beyond the saloon, Isabel came to a halt at Maldwin's Saddlery. Maldwin had known Isabel almost all her life here on Severance. He was a fiery-haired, ruddy bear of a man, worked leather in every form. His booming laugh rang out as Isabel recounted her story of ill luck, and he took the boot and nailed the sole onto the upper with such care and precision so that the joint was as good as new. And he smoothed a coating around the joint to prevent anything coming through the gap if it reopened at all on the way home. While it set, the two laughed and joked, but Isabel insisted on paying for the repair there and then. Maldwin would not hear of it. Cassius's strict control of the purse strings was as legendary on Severance, nearly as legendary as Cassius himself. Maldwin knew that if he took Isabel's money, she would have to repeat her journey the next day to complete her shopping and deprive her of the opportunity to get it done today. Legendary though Cassius may have been, it was not as a celebrity, quite the opposite. In the 15 years he'd been on Severance, he'd only had direct contact with around half a dozen people. And that was probably 4 more people than he would have liked. It wasn't that he didn't like people, but he'd set up a home here to ensure his privacy, to raise Isabel as he wished without interference. His only companion had been Mrs. Lou, a housekeeper during Isabel's early years, who'd helped Cassius to bear the load. She retired when Isabel turned 12, and all the household duties were divided between Cassius and Isabel. He did the cooking and the laundry, chopped the firewood, and planted crops in the mineral-rich soil of their homestead. She in turn cleaned the house and fetched the provisions from the town every week. The folk of Severance were never really able to fathom why such a protective grandfather was willing to let his granddaughter wander into town carrying their money unprotected. But Cassius had done his homework. He'd chosen this little backwater moon very carefully. This was no rough mining colony with a shortage of women. Here on Severance, women are viewed as equals. They were free to travel unmolested. This was a highly motivated moon. The folk here knew that Blue Sun will not pitch in and bail them out, and so their work ethos was so highly developed that Severance has one of the lowest crime rates on any planet or moon this far from the core planets. Cassius knew that his family of 2 would be free to grow old on this rock, and maybe, one day, Severance would provide him with a groom for his granddaughter, and Lord willing, a great-grandchild. But Isabel, who was blossoming into womanhood, and was a handsome young girl, was loyal to her grandfather. She wanted to repay the years of love and devotion invested in her, to repay it in full, so that as Cassius approached the sunset of his years, he would know that he was loved and cared for as deeply as he had cared for her. Isabel was still only 17, and there was plenty of time to settle with a family of her own in years to come.
But she was aware that Cassius was now aging, almost visibly shrinking as he grew older. Now in his late 70s, he was slowing considerably, whereas he still insisted on chopping the firewood. The load produced during a single session had shrunk back considerably, and Cassius would fall asleep sooner after completing the work. And he seemed smaller, not quite a little old man, but no longer the statuesque figure Isabel had known as a child. She was aware it would only be a matter of time before she would have to seek help around the homestead, and Cassius would have to swallow his pride and allow it. Having bought the week's provisions, Isabel made a point of calling in to say goodbye to Maldwin, to thank him for his kindness in extending credit. This was not a common practice on Severance. But she insisted that she would be back the next day to repay him for the work. And try as he may, Maldwin could not convince her that she could simply wait till the following week when she made her next trip into town. Cassius had always taught her that you should not be beholden to any other. Debts should be paid in full. And here on Severance, that was a creed most folks lived by, not just Cassius and Isabel. So, pulling her hand wagon, Isabel began her long journey home. She was traveling the same dusty roads, and then she came across it, that stupid stone. Upon seeing it again, she kicked it so hard it almost disappeared over the horizon. The sun was beginning to fade, but she knew that she'd be home before sundown. She looked down at her boot, and then she realized a good pair of boots will last you half a lifetime if you polish them well, and you have a friend like Maldwin who has a big bag of nails. You've been listening to Severance by Andy Evans, Chapter 1, A Good Pair of Boots. Listen in for Chapter 2, The Gathering Storm. The music featured in this podcast was provided free of charge by Magnatunes.com under a Creative Commons license. You heard the following tracks: Le Crabe Noir by Shira Kamen, Landscape by Claire Fitch, Hand to Dross by Shira Kamen, and Ambient Cellist again by Claire Fitch. And we would like to thank our friends at Magnatunes.com for granting us permission to use their music in this podcast.